your face when I was filling up my coffee cup this morning was amazing. And like, you had the same level of fear as you would have if I were about to like drive a car off of a bridge.
I just got, when you said filling up my cup, for some reason, when I was in middle school, the Black Eyed Peas came out with a song that was, I Got a Feeling. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I got a feeling. There's a part of that, there's like a bridge or a refrain that's like, fill up my cup, mazel tov.
Yeah, it's yeah. Like, why did that make you
they
laugh?
They were so bad. And we so all bad. Loved them. I know you didn't, but like, it was catchy as all get out.
Yeah, it was super, super catchy. And but why did that make you laugh so much, the Mazel Tov piece? Just because it's a bad song?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, that just felt like
a, you just got the giggles.
Yeah. Well, I think it just, it made me laugh because you said that, and for some reason, it made me think of a song from 2007.
Yeah, which is the year after, in your opinion,
the greatest music year in pop music history. Look, I get it. I get it. I'm not talking about like Beatles pop songs. I'm not talking about like, you know, 1965.
I love how you can just slide by that as if it doesn't exist.
No. I'm saying like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like modern pop music. Leave me alone.
Are the Beatles not modern pop music?
I'm listening to a biography about the Beatles right now.
What is this? Fantastic. Is a book?
Yeah. You haven't read this?
Which, it's not Jeff Emmerich's book, is it?
No, I've read that one too.
Yeah.
It's by a guy named...
the answer is no.
Spitz? Mark Spitz or something
did
like
you,
that?
Okay. So, I was filling up...
Bob Spitz.
We have a Keurig up here at the church, and I'm filling up the Keurig, and I had already put the milk in the cup and stuff, and so I guess this cup is the exact size of how much coffee will go from a Keurig, from a K-cup. Because we were both just watching it like, what's about to happen?
I just saw my life flash before my eyes.
T was like, Lee. Like, and it's like, well, the worst thing that could happen is some of the coffee spills over the lid of, over the top of the cup and goes into the little reservoir.
But like, you know, our boss a couple months ago spilled a cup of hot coffee on him and it melted his skin off. So I literally was thinking about
him.
You. Yeah. Flay. What does that word even mean?
You don't know what that word means?
I know. It just makes me laugh. I know exactly what it means. Okay, it's okay, like, okay. I got a nasty cut and I got flayed open.
Yeah.
Is it fillet?
No,
or
it's
is it
flay.
Flay.
F-L-A-Y.
It's just a word that Potsy uses a lot. I don't know if it's flayed or flay.
Well, speaking of Potsy, I've started doing, just to like see if I can make it work, see if I can create a... get ahead of steam around this phrase, is like whenever something is like really, really, really sweet, like too sweet, overly sweet, I will say type two. And just to, because it's something Potsy would say. And so I tried to say it around him just to see if he would immediately get it. But obviously referring to type two diabetes.
Yeah. Cause yeah.
And so he was in his office and we were talking about somebody. He was like, he's a sweet guy, isn't he? And I was like, hey, type two. And I was so excited about it. And he burst into the wheeze laugh.
He's got
like
the best laugh ever.
Instantaneous wheeze.
He's got the best laugh.
And I was so
time.
Excited because it worked. You know, it just like,
yeah.
Because Potsy, those of you who don't know, Potsy will just, he will just assume that you're on the wavelength with some abbreviation that he's come up with. And he'll just say it, yeah, even if you have no idea what it means.
No. Yeah. You, yeah. Just out of left field. And you're like, like, what did he, the other day he texted us and said, I got to go to K today.
And you're like, okay, that could that be Kmart?
Crystal? Knoxville?
Kroger? Just Kristen's?
Kristen's are, yeah, she's on staff with us.
Yeah, our administrator.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. That's amazing. I just like, I still can't believe though, we all just let the Black Eyed Peas...
We all just decided.
Run the radio for a while. I'm guilty. I loved it.
like we have to have a national confession of sin or something.
No,
like
I just
that.
Like as someone who like I like dabble in songwriting, and I just know like you have like you work really hard at it, and then
I've got a feeling
that tonight's gonna be
but
a
here's
good
my thing,
night.
Is like as we're singing the song, I can clearly in my mind see an image of you at Young Life Camp, night four, like in your Western attire, soaked, covered in like with you know whipped cream all over your hair and stuff like that, and you like raising the roof to that song. Like I can see,
listen,
I can see you dancing in my mind's eye.
Like, do you see the lyrics? It's all the same one over and over.
There are exactly six words in the lyrics of this song.
Tonight's the night. Let's live it up. I got my money. Let's spend it up. So they rhymed up and up. Go out and... I know that we'll have a ball if we get down and go out and just lose it all.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel stressed, and I want to let it go. Okay, that... I don't...
Well, it's got a little introspective there.
Fill up my cup, Mazel Tov. I'm not like, listen, I am knocking this.
You're knocking
but
it.
But it's so daggum catchy, and that's all it takes for pop music. You gotta get something stuck in somebody's head. In reading this book about the Beatles, that's what their goal. It was just like, they called the chorus the middle eight. Yep. We're going to make it so catchy that you can't stop singing it.
Because they were making 32-bar songs. Also, one of the things he says on the Hulu documentary is, he said it was practical as well because they had no recording
prices.
Right,
they had to remember it.
They had to, yes.
Yeah, so it had to be that good.
The songs that they wound up finishing were songs that they could remember.
Yeah, they were driving so around in touring vans, writing stuff down on notepads, and then like, all right. And it would take them 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, some of their best songs were just written in 10 minutes. And it was like,
beautiful.
Oh, they changed the world with that. Somehow we're talking about...
Welcome to Ancient and New.
The Beatles now. I don't like the them
Would you
in
like
the same sentence as...
The Black Eyed Peas. Every time we say Black Eyed Peas, Thomas just bursts into laughter. He's like... It's like a wave of guilt
I have to
over
be,
him.
I have to be careful because I think Party Rock Anthem is one of the best songs ever written.
Oh, stop. You... Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast-ish, and we're back. We did not mean to take last week off, but my man T and his wife got out of town, and
we won't talk about why
they went out of town, but he needed it. It was good, and so now we're back. Do you want to start us this week? Do you have some scripture? I just brushed through that as fast as possible.
Yeah, we
got to
do that, don't we?
Because I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about what you did.
We got to do the scripture piece.
What's your... Where are we going?
1 Thessalonians 5.
Oh,
I've continued my march through Paul's letters. It's been going on for a while now.
Have you ever hung out with somebody who's been to these places? Like maybe Austin Morgan.
Austin
or
Morgan's probably.
I was talking to somebody who hadn't, and it's like, you know, they make you feel stupid because he's like, it's Thessaloniki, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
because you say Thessalonica.
Well, so that's one of those things where like every once in a while you'll hear someone's name from the Bible pronounced one way, and I'm like, do we all agree on that? Have I been saying it wrong forever?
I think Sam Fox says salmon instead of salmon, and most people say salmon. I guess probably because of Andrew Peterson's song.
Like, I heard Salome the other night, and I've always said Salome.
Salome, yeah.
Which I don't know if that's, I don't know which one, like, I heard it, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm wrong. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Who knows? So, yeah, first. I've heard Colossae. I'm like, I don't know. They're pretty similar
Tonight's
to me.
Tonight's gonna be. You can't stop. It's in there.
Yeah, it's
First
just.
1 Thessalonians 5.
Let's paint the town. We'll shut it down, and then we'll do it again. You think we can close the episode with that song? It's got to be public domain at
this
point.
Do you think the Black Eyed Peas listen to this podcast?
I think Steve Aoki probably does. Is he in the Black Eyed Peas? I feel like he is.
Say.
Isn't it like him, Fergie, Will.i.am?
Will.i.am, that's the one I know.
Yeah.
I couldn't have said it if you had not said it, however. Which verse are we in?
16.
Rock on.
are you ready?
Dude, I've been ready. I've been sitting here in 1 Thessalonians 5.
We have like a little bit of edge to us because we didn't record last week. So like,
yeah.
Yeah, we're above the limit right now as far as like.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Welcome back
just
to
so,
our show.
Just so we're clear, it's 7 o'clock in the morning right now. So we're fired up to do this. Verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Ooh. That's the clincher for me right there.
Okay.
It's not rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, because this will be okay if you do that, or you'll be whatever if you do that, or you just should do that, or which like those should be
help.
Good enough anyway,
yeah.
right? Like if Paul says like, hey, it'll help, do these things, that should be good enough.
It'll work.
It'll work. Yeah, whatever. But instead, he says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, that.
That's a big word, will.
It got heavier.
So like, yeah, when you hear the word will, you hear the word calling, you hear whatever the thing is. Like so many times I think Christians like wake up in the morning and one, I think it's really easy for us just to like go about our day and not even think about what the Lord wants for us that day. But I think it's also, you know, I would hope it's a regular thing for us as believers to ask the Lord, hey, what do you want from me? What's your will for me? How do you want me to live my day? And so many times I ask that question of God and I overlook the obvious. Like I look very hard for like, I know it's like being in, Maddie's listening to Harry Potter right now and it's amazing. Oh, awesome. But so we just finished book 5. I kind of listened to him with her and it makes me really happy because I'm like, oh, get ready. This is going to be awesome. but like, so
wow, you just finished book 5.
Yeah.
Dang.
It's picking up steam. So it makes me like, it's easy for me to think of the will.
That's tender, man. That's
tender. I know. It makes me think of the will of God sometimes as like that one room in the Apartment of Mysteries where there's like 9 doors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like,
and it rotates.
Yeah. You're like, okay, which one of these doors are we going through today, Lord? Like, what's your will today? Which door am I going through?
Which one haven't I already gone through?
Yeah. Which one have I not done? Which one should I not have gone down? Which one? Did
you don't
want
to wind up in the brain room.
Yeah. And get wrapped up like an octopus by a brain.
Because people that haven't read Harry Potter are
thoughts
like,
can be the most deadly thing. Yeah, exactly. But so it's easy for me to think about all those things. Like big picture, the huge idea.
Well, like, I think when like, you know, you and I work a lot with high school folks and college folks. And usually when they talk about the will of God, they mean like, where am I going to go to college? Who am I going to marry?
What's my career going to be forever?
Right.
Yeah. And it's so easy to ask that those big questions of the Lord when the answer is like right in front of you. I often, and I think it happens to a lot of us, forget like there are answers already to that question. There are things that we can
super specific
straight up do because it says it very clearly. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
This is what he
wants. If I wake up this morning and I say, Lord, what's your will for me today? What do you want from me today? I know for a fact he wants me to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And I'm like, okay, I can get working on those things.
Yeah.
And who knows what happens from those. When I think about like rejoicing always, I read another one that just said, you know, be joyful always. Like just rejoice always, be joyful always. Like, okay, there are things in my everyday life that try to steal my joy. Straight up. They want to take it away.
Oh, yeah.
They want to make it hard for me to rejoice.
Last week, I was just minding my own business in my kitchen, and somebody really close to me just sent me a gif of a broom going into a dustpan to remind me that another baseball team had swept my baseball team.
Who was... Oop. Yikes.
Who would do that?
Well, whose team would lose 3 games in a row?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
But yeah, no, there's stuff that wants to steal your joy all day long.
Yeah. And so if I'm told to rejoice always, I need to have a game plan against things and know, like, hey, these things are trying to steal my joy. Therefore, I need to get out of the way of them or not let them do the thing. Or I need to be ready.
That's really good because what you're talking about is you're talking about the kind of thinking that involves like a preemptive acceptance of the fact that I'm not just going to go through my day like, and it's going to be neutral. Mm-hmm. There's an active desire for me to get taken off course.
Right. So if if Instagram makes me think about how I'm not at this place, or I'm not doing this thing, or I don't look this way, and it tanks me, I need to delete the thing.
Wow. Yeah.
If there's people in my life who make me feel like crap every time I talk to them, I need to not talk to them. Like, and I'm saying because I'm talking to myself, and there's a list of things where I'm like, I know instantly if I go down this rabbit hole, if I go through this door in the Department of Mysteries, my joy is going to fly out the window. So it's hard for me to rejoice always with certain things. So I need to avoid them. Praying continually. Like, it's just, like, I just need to be in conversation with God always. I need to do it. And honestly, it makes your life better and it's more fun. And like, it lines up other things the Lord asks us to do. Like, keep your sights on things above. Like, set your heart on things above. You want to do that? Pray continually. Talk to the Lord always. Talk to, it's just like, every time you go into a new room, every time you're in your car by yourself, anytime you're just in your head, when you're thinking, like, what if you just, when your head starts going down one of those things that is going to steal your joy, what if you immediately reverted that to a conversation with the Lord?
Yeah.
About how awesome he is, about how sweet and kind he is. I think about, we always joke about this. We talked about Potsy at the beginning of this, but whenever you ask Potsy to pray, it's like he starts in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah.
He doesn't, it's never a dear heavenly Father. Not that that's wrong, or like, it's never a, hey God, or whatever the, you know, there's, it's not that. It's just,
he'll just say like, it's you.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, wow.
Because of the blood. Or like waddling up to you with our hands open. You know, just like there are just these sentence fragments that he starts with. Yeah. And you just realize, and maybe I'm wrong, but in my heart, it's because
he's just always doing
it.
Yeah, he's just like, arms stretched out,
feet, diapers dirty.
Feet pounding the floor to your bedroom door.
Passies in our mouth. And I'm like,
the best.
Oh, that's amazing. That's how we're supposed to be.
There should be a podcast that's just Potsy praying.
Yeah.
People could tune into.
You're absolutely right.
Just
tune into Potsy's prayers. There'd just be an FM radio frequency of it.
The problem is that Potsy would call the podcast PP.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't. He would.
We need to end this episode. That is ridiculous. And it's so true. Gosh, I just finished reading The Hiding Place for like the third or fourth time.
Oh, yeah.
And every time I read this verse, I think of the fleas.
Oh, gosh.
Because, but I just want to, one thing I said to Tom the other day was, I said, I'm not Betsy. I'm just not. I want to be. I'm, you know, I want to be Corey, you know.
But that's stage one.
Yeah, I super want to be Betsy, who just is grateful and prayerful always and is always thankful. And there's that beautiful scene in there where they are like, she realizes like, oh, we just read a verse about this. And the Lord's, and she's like flipping through it. She's like, it's in the First Thessalonians. And she gets to the point where it says, give thanks in all circumstances. And she's like, Corey, that's what we have to do. We have to give thanks. So she starts listing all things to give thanks for. And then she says, and the fleas.
And Corey's like, nope.
No, I'm not doing
that's
that.
That's too far.
I'm not giving thanks for fleas in our straw beds in the middle of this concentration camp.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a couple chapters later, you find out it's the reason why they could have Bible studies. It's the reason
why the guards
wouldn't come in there because there's fleas. And I think for like 5 weeks in a row, I've talked about how much gratitude is a life changer for me.
People are going to hear about it on Sunday morning too.
They're going to hear about it again right now. If you aren't finding yourself being grateful very often, I would challenge you to say why. We don't deserve a dang thing in our life. We don't deserve we don't deserve a single person. We don't deserve a breath. If you're not being grateful, I would challenge you by saying, first of all, why? Second of all, what do you think you deserve? Why do you think you deserve something?
Yeah.
Gratitude is a place of saying, I don't deserve anything, and I have way more than I need, way more than I should have. At the bare minimum, people of God should be grateful every day that Jesus died for you.
Right.
That you should be grateful every day that the Lord was willing to pay for you. There's right before this, it says, but you brothers and sisters are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. He's talking about when the Lord returns, but he says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. And I'm like, we should. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve to be called a child of God. I deserve to belong to the night or to the darkness. That's where I deserve to be. I don't deserve to be called a children. I know that doesn't make sense grammatically, but like that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that I'm allowed to be called a child of God, that I get to be a child of the light and a child of the day. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. I was purchased. So therefore I have no reason to not give thanks. I have to. I don't deserve anything in this world.
Yeah.
Anyways, if you're wondering what's the will of God for my life, there you go.
Yeah.
Start right there. It says it very clearly.
So super clear. I just want to look at something super quick from Revelation chapter 7.
I went way too long. You got on a tear.
I loved it.
Lighting the cord up. Revelation who?
7.
Okay.
Revelation chapter 7. Okay, I want to start smack dab in the middle of verse 15. And there's this thing. It says, he who sits on the throne. So, like, by the way, the revelation, the Greek word for revelation is the word apocalypsis. Like, this is the apocalypse.
Sure.
And that freaks people out because they're like, oh, no. The apocalyptic world, apocalypse. The apocalypse just means like the revealing, like something that has had a veil over it. The veil's pulled back, and the revealing is we are revealing who Jesus really is. Mm. Jesus is coming back, and John is getting a vision of what that's going to be like. Hey, Jesus is going to come back and take over the whole world. And you're basically gonna get into a time machine and get a glimpse of what that's like. And so you're gonna write stuff down so people can know, so that people who are holding on to their hope in Jesus can know, you guys win. That's what the apocalypse is actually awesome. People talk about a post-apocalyptic world. It'll be great. It will not be I Am Legend or, you know, whatever.
I love that movie. And till the scene with the dog. I can't watch this anymore.
But it's not going to be like that. The apocalypse is actually an awesome thing. It's the revealing of the glorified Jesus. But he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Gosh, I just feel like already I don't need to say anything else. Like, to be sheltered by the presence of Jesus just sounds like the sweetest thing ever. When Nora was really, really little, she used to have these like night terrors. And like we would like run into her room and then like we would, you know, like grab her and hold her really tight. And then she would wake up, literally wake up from that afraid, but like in the arms of her parents. Mm. And that's the thing that I thought of when I saw that. Like, he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is so rich. It's just, and honestly, it complements the place that you just took us. Like, whatever I'm going through and whatever questions or confusions I have about my life, I have this hope sitting out there in front of me of like the sheltering presence of the shepherd who's going to wipe away tears and make sure everybody has enough. And like, it's so simple and it's so kind and it's so good, you know, that there's so many things that can make us afraid and there's so many things that we don't have the answers to. And it's like, they're out in front of us. I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know if this is going to be bad or good. And it's like, yeah, but out a little bit farther, everything is good. Mm. And I just think that is such a cool thing. Like, I think one of the things that I'm constantly trying to do in my life is to realize and experience the constant presence of Jesus, because he promises without any kind of qualification at all, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Mm-hmm. It's like, I am experiencing the presence of Jesus. I can't see him. I can't feel him, but I'm trying to get better at understanding that. And then there's going to come a day where literally the apocalypse, like the curtain is removed and the appearing, and it's like, and then I'm going to know in a way that I don't experience it right now, like in a way that's completely undeniable. Oh, I'm always in the presence of the one who makes sure I have more than I need, everything I need, and wipes away every cause for sadness, every cause for stress or strain or confusion or problems. Oh, it's just so good. Mm. You know, it just feels calming. It feels, it doesn't even feel exciting. It just feels calming in the best sense of that word.
Yeah, I think I'm excited for the day where that veil is pulled back and you realize all the times, all the places the Lord was always, yeah. You know, and you're just like, oh, I see it now. I see.
Yeah, that's the coolest thing that happens in letter 31 in the Screwtape Letters, the last letter. There's a couple of sentences like that where you like, basically that this dude, the instant that he died, like he was able to look on the faces of angels who took care of him throughout his life. And he was able to know, oh, at most of my life, I didn't even really know if I believed in you, but you were there all along.
Yeah.
Moments when I thought I was alone, I never was. Mm. And like, and then not only would they see them, but they would see him. Mm. And it's just like cool, crisp water. Just
I like that.
Him being so kind, you know, and knowing that he was always there.
That's awesome. I don't have anything to add.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't have any theological breakthroughs about this. It literally is just like, hey, it's a reminder to all of us who are straining our way through this week. Hold on to your hope, and your hope is I don't know when, we're a day closer than we were yesterday, but we are going to be sheltered by the presence of Jesus. He's going to lead us around like a shepherd, yeah, to cool, clean water, and we're going to have everything we need, and every tear is going to be wiped away. And that's so cool.
Wow. I love that.
And by the way, it's something to give thanks for again today.
Sheesh. I'm going to keep saying it. People are going to quit listening to our podcast. Like, that guy just talks about giving thanks. That's all he talks about. That one guy.
The Tea Gives Thanks podcast.
The TGTP.
Somewhere Potsy felt a disturbance in the force. He was like, oh man, I got to start listening to podcasts. Folks, thanks for listening. We love you. We're glad to be back in your feed. And I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.